Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. A couple weeks ago, as you probably know, a large swath of the country from Texas to Maine experienced the effects of the eclipse, where the moon passed between the sun and the earth in such a way that the sun's light was obscured for a period of time, causing in some areas a blackout condition. We here in the Pittsburgh area were in the 90% coverage range, meaning it got somewhat dark, a little bit like dusk, in the middle of the day. And yes, we went outside and we used our official viewing glasses, and I hope you did too wherever you were watching from. No matter where you live, you could hardly escape all the talk and anticipation about it. Schools were called off in some areas. Businesses were out for the day. And at least one baseball game, that'd be my team in Cleveland, delayed their start that day until later because the eclipse was taking place. Hotels in the viewing area were sold out for years just so people could experience darkness during the day for a few minutes. And meteorologists from every network in the country were sent to key cities to report on the special occurrence. You know, we can get pretty excited when rare natural events like this occur. Just imagine how God felt as He watched all of us get excited about the eclipse. You know, after all, God is the author of this event, so He knew all about it. And this isn't the first time that God amazed us with the movement of nature. Remember how God used rain to cleanse the earth of evil, protecting only Noah and his family? Or how God used a drought and famine to save Joseph and his brothers and the entire nation? Or how God used hail as one of the 10 plagues against Egypt? Or how God parted the Red Sea so Moses could lead the people to safety? And how God used the Egyptian desert's harsh conditions to teach His people to trust in Him alone? Yes, God has frequently used nature for His purposes. Well, you know, Joshua knew that. After all, he had a front row seat for several of God's miracles where He used nature for His purpose. Most recently, when God parted the Jordan River after Joshua stepped into it so that God's people could cross into the promised land. That miracle was still fresh in Joshua's mind when he was called into battle once again in order to clear out those who had been squatters in the land God had promised to Israel. You'll remember, Joshua had just made an unwise treaty with the Gibeonites. Remember back in chapter 9, they had tricked Joshua into this treaty, and now Joshua was bound to keep his promise to protect them. Well, five Amorite enemy kings decided they were going to attack the Gibeonites. So, of course, the Gibeonites sent word to Joshua to come help them fight. We read about this in Joshua chapter 10, starting in verse 6. We read, "The Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal, 'Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us.' So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you.' Well, after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, who defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makkedah. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them from the sky, and more of them died from the hailstones than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. On that day, the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel. Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the day, and the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Now, wait a minute. What did that say? Joshua asked for the sun and the moon to pause so that they would have more daylight time to finish their battle? Wow. You know, God had promised Joshua that he would be victorious. And if that meant that God would, you know, once again use nature to accomplish his purposes and fulfill his promises, well, then so be it. He would, and he did. Now, as author Erwin Lutzer writes in his book, Conquering the Fear of Failure, about this occasion, he writes on page 141, God has promised the power. God has both the power and integrity to meet all of his promised obligations. If he says that Joshua will win a battle, he will change the course of nature to make sure it will happen. Nothing can stand in the way of God's fulfilling his word. God has the power to fulfill his promises. As it says in Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And God has the integrity to do so as well. As written in John 17:17, thy word is truth. God has the two attributes essential for making promises come true. Joshua knew that God deserved to be believed. He continues with this. Don't interpret this to mean that Joshua did nothing. He and his army had to continue to fight. When God fights for us, he gives us the authority to overcome the enemy, but he does not do it independently of our own efforts. God wins victories for us, but not apart from us. We still must face our enemies, but we do not do it alone. Well, now, before you think, hey, God, I could use a few extra hours in my day today to get some things done. Why don't you slow down the sun and the moon while, you know, I'm working away? Well, that's not going to happen. What God did that day for Joshua was a one-time thing to fulfill a promise exclusively to Joshua. We read this in our book on page 145. But what a day Joshua had. We read in verse 14, and there was no day like that before it or after it when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua proves that when we know the promises of God and are convinced of the power of God, we can exercise the authority of God. We have as many promises as we need to do the will of God. Let me say that again. We have as many promises as we need to do the will of God. You know, we might not get an extra time in our day, but we have everything we need in order to do what God has given us to do today. So anytime you look up to the sky, remember the God who made the heavens and the earth, the moon and the sun. It's the same God who walks with you daily, who knows your every need, and who helps you accomplish what he has called you to do. He fulfills his promises to you. As he said to Joshua, God says to us, do not be afraid, for I, the Lord, am with you. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First tele-Bible study time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.